We're going to talk about our study that's being conducted here in Chicago, which is called the Chicago Plan. And Chicago, in this context, stands for, it's an acronym for a really long title that I'm not going to go into. So we are one of the funded asthma evidence to action sites here. It's a 3-year grant. So the first year is a formative year, and then there's a multi-center randomized controlled trial that follows. So within the trial, there's 3 arms: a usual care arm, an enhanced emergency room or ED discharge arm, and then enhanced ED discharge with community health worker home visits. And I'll get into later what that all means. But the first aim of our study then was around the formative work, which was to conduct planning activities, which included qualitative interviews with caregivers, clinicians, community health workers, to finalize the study design and protocol. So the Chicago Plan has 6 clinical sites, but we have a lot of collaborations that go beyond the clinical sites. So this is too much to read, of course, but the 6 clinical sites are on there, but you also see the Department of Public Health and a lot of other groups that do a lot of different work around asthma. And specifically, AIM 1 was led by our patient and stakeholder work group, which is led by Chicago Asthma Consortium, which Stacy is going to be talking about in a little bit, the Respiratory Health Association, which is here, Kate McMahon is here, and also the Illinois Institute of Technology Institute of Design, which did a lot of the work for us as well. So before we even started with our formal work, we held a public stakeholder meeting in June of 2014. So this was conducted by the Chicago Asthma Consortium and was held here in Chicago around emergency management of asthma was the topic. And there were over 75 attendees of this meeting that represented a whole bunch of different disciplines. There were doctors, there were nurses, there were community health workers and respiratory therapists. There were people from the Chicago Public Schools, people from the pharma industry, and people from medical device industries that make some of the inhalers and different things. So we had a really robust discussion about some of the gaps and challenges that were happening right now in this city around emergency management of asthma. And we were able to take that then and sort of spin it into the different parts of our formative research plan. So to keep in mind that the goal here was to do these things. So first to really define our primary outcome. And this is sort of one of the special things that PCORI does is you can write your grant and not define your primary outcome in your grant. You get to do that during the formative work, which is really great because we were able to make sure that our primary outcome was really meaningful to all the stakeholders involved. So we needed some input on our primary outcome, our study design. Particularly, we were concerned about this usual care arm. How would that work? We wanted some extra content on the ED intervention and the process of the ED intervention. So what we were defining as our ED intervention was basically a discharge tool that would help families as they're being discharged from the emergency room. And we had an idea as to what that would be, but we really weren't sure how it would work in real practice. We wanted some input on recruitment and also on the content of the community health worker intervention. So we started with the focus groups, and these were with caregivers and community health workers, and the goal here was to get the patient perspective on the interventions and also on the study outcome. Some of the participants from the focus groups and other caregivers were invited to participate in what we call user-centered interviews. So these are one-on-one interviews that are conducted in the home. So it's some of the same content on patient perspective, but it's really, it's a very different environment when you are talking to someone one-on-one in their home versus when you have a group of caregivers together in a focus group in some community setting, right? So it was patient perspective, but from a very different lens. We also spoke to people in the emergency room. So we talked to clinicians and administrators and outpatient providers as well to get the provider perspective on the interventions. And then we did some tours and observations because a lot of times what people say is what they wish happened, right? Or what is supposed to happen. But when you're actually there watching, you realize it doesn't always play out that way. So the focus groups, we did one focus group of community health workers. There were 8 community health workers in that group, and then we did 2 groups of caregivers. And the population really represented, in many ways, the population that we were striving to work with in the Chicago trial as well for the clinical trial. So primarily African American with some Hispanic and lower education levels. And all had been in the emergency room with a child in the last year with asthma. We also conducted key informant interviews. Oh, and I just want to say that these focus groups focused on, again, the patient perspectives around what happened to them during that emergency room visit and what were their needs around asthma. For the key informant interviews, we talked to one of the ED doctors at each of the clinical sites. We then also tried to find who was the person who runs the show, right? Like, who's in charge of the staffing and the processes and things. And in some places it's a nurse, in some places it's an administrator, sometimes it's a nurse slash administrator all together in one. So we ended up talking with four nurses and five administrators to sort of get the feel for the six clinical sites as to how the processes really work around the staffing and discharge process. We also talked with five ambulatory outpatient providers that were linked to the clinical sites so that we could understand what happens on the outpatient side. Your patients just been in the emergency room. What kind of things do you get, do you need, do you hear from them? And so during these interviews, the people that we interviewed were asked to really walk us through the whole process of what a patient goes through when they're in your ED from start to finish, and where does the discharge process occur, and how, and what are all the tools used. And then these are just some photographs. I know it's probably a little hard to see, but our ED discharge tool was our primary intervention. And in asthma, we talk about an asthma action plan. It's sort of like a super asthma action plan is really what this was. So we needed some sort of tool to help people understand what are the medications that they're supposed to be using, when is their follow-up, what are their triggers, what are their symptoms and things. And this was a very interactive process. So, you know, people were given post-its and boards and things, and where would you want this information? Well, move it to where you think it should be, and, you know, turn this. So they were really hands-on trying to get people involved in that process. So the user center interviews, again, were with caregivers. There were nine of them. They were conducted in their homes. And again, people were asked to tell us about your last ED visit, what happened. Show us what you got at your last ED visit. And sometimes this involved like digging under the couch and pulling out the bag full of paper that they've gotten, you know, over the last 5 years. And that in itself is very telling. Like, people could find a lot of documents, but they were in weird places and totally unusable. And that tells you how usable the documents were, right? Because if they were usable, maybe people would have put them somewhere that they could have had. They felt like, well, I'm supposed to hold on to it. They said it was important, but I don't even know what it means, right? So we asked people to show us that, and we were looking too at just the environment that they were living in and the different medications and tools they had available to them in the home. We also then had them look at the asthma discharge plan, the tool that we were building. And then, of course, we were in the emergency rooms and also a call center, just sort of watching operations as well. So in terms of results, the caregiver focus groups, so parents described using the ED frequently because the kids are sick and because it's what they know. So this is a quote from one of the caregivers. "It's nothing too challenging because I'm very familiar with it, because I'm an asthmatic myself. I'm 33, I've been through a lot, through the ER, so I know what's been taught to me and can react to him too." Some parents said that the ED staff makes the families feel undertreated and undervalued. And what they meant by this is, you know, they were concerned about their kid. They brought them to the ED. They waited and waited, and someone came in and said, "It's just a cold. Go home," right? And made them feel really bad about the whole thing. And they were seriously worried. So they felt like they were not treated properly in this exchange. They always are told to seek follow-up care. They try. And they can't. I mean, they wait on the phone for an hour and a half and use like all their minutes, and then they're told an appointment in like 3 months, right? And just the process of trying to get follow-up care was really hard for them to actualize. They said they want education, but what they do get is not helpful. The caregivers gave us a little bit more nuanced kind of picture about what these families are experiencing. They described a lot of problems with medicines. So one of the most important medicines that you need when you have asthma is a reliever medicine. It's a little pump that you use to make sure you don't die, right? And there's 200 puffs in there, and most insurance plans will only fill one of those a month. So if you use the whole thing up and it's before the end of the month, the only way you can get a new one is to go to the emergency room. And that's what families do, right? So they go to the emergency room because they ran out of the medicine and they can't get a new one from their insurance, so they go to the ED. The parents are told to go get these medicines, and with insurance, with any kind of private insurance, most of these medicines are going to have a $50 to $80 copay per medicine. If you don't have insurance, these medicines can be up to several hundred dollars. So there's huge prohibitions in terms of the families getting these medicines, and that's not addressed, they feel, by the staff that's giving them. And then there's issues, they're discharged at midnight, right? And they're told, okay, so go to the pharmacy, get this medicine, give it to him every 4 hours or he'll be right back here. And you're like, well, I can barely get home, much less get a medicine from a pharmacy at 1 a.m. now, right? And then they can't use the education that they get in the ED. So this is a community health worker. There hasn't been, from my experience, the information given wasn't explained. They'll get some papers and expect the parent to read it, figure it out. In my experience, I've learned that a more vocal approach, an explanation of something scrubbed in a piece of paper, works a lot better. They went home with some information, but not really what they needed to prevent another ED visit. The providers in the ED, what we really figured out through this process was that patient education was positioned at really the weakest moment, right? It was right at the time of discharge. Everybody's tired, everybody's hungry, everybody's sick of being there. Now they know they're going home, and now someone sits down and wants to like spend a half hour talking about asthma with them. No way, right? It just wasn't working. The discharge experience was fragmented, and the clinicians and the caregivers both, I mean, the clinicians wanted better tools, and they just didn't have them available due to all the meaningful use requirements and things like that. They had to use things that they knew were not good. In the home, it was really clear that families needed some way to share information and coordinate care. So just because mom was the one in the ED maybe with the family and got the whole discharge process, she might not be there tomorrow, right? Maybe it's grandma that's the one that gets them ready for school or takes care of them in the evenings. They spend the weekends at dad. Like, they need help getting the message to everyone in the care team that's in the home, and the tools that they had didn't allow that. Discharge information stored out of sight. The caregivers having a complete understanding of asthma was really clear, and there was a lot of medication workarounds and confusion. So from this information, we designed a really cool ED discharge tool. We think it's cool. And so it's a back and forth page tool that's really colorful and easy to read and provides the information that we think is what people and providers really need. We also made some changes in the design of the project. So initially we thought that this tool, which is called the CAPE, by the way, that colored ED discharge tool, it was supposed to be delivered by the ED staff, and it was just not gonna work. It really wasn't. They didn't have the time. They didn't have the system set up. They already had to do their own meaningful use discharge, and this wouldn't replace that. So we instead changed the design to put an ED coordinator at each clinical site, which is someone who's paid by the project to do the discharge process. And so by freeing up the time of the ED staff, then we could spread the discharge process out through the whole period of their time in the ED, so they could get teachable moments, right? Get some self-management education when people were more open to it. So in conclusion, engagement of the end users in the design phase, so this formative phase, was really important towards what we hope is going to ensure research feasibility and relevance. We made some significant changes in our study design and our implementation based on the results from this process. So we have a big team, and with that I can take questions. Well, direct questions for this, and then we'll have more later.
Good question. Your index client was? How would I be defining that?
Our target population are children 5 to 11 who are in the ED for an asthma exacerbation and require steroids of some sort.
In the ED, just once?
They're recruited in the emergency department. So they're recruited at the time of being in the emergency department. Thank you.